praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, all honor. We lift and magnify you. We ask you, Father, to just pour yourself out and just minister to hearts to hear this little word here today, and that it would just give them exactly what they need to hear today, Father. I give you all praise and glory and honor, and I just bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to talk to you today out of Judges chapter 6. And when I was kind of questioning the Lord what he would have me speak on, this is where he kind of directed me to. And Judges chapter 6 is a good chapter. Chapter 6 and chapter 7. And when you go home, read through it yourself and just ponder it over a little bit. But anyway, in chapter 6 of Judges, it says this: "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. We know 7 is a number for completion in God. And I got news for you. Sometimes God has to let you get into some situations that aren't the greatest in the world. And it seems like sometimes you're in there for 7 years. But usually what it is God's going to teach you some things in the midst of it. Thank God for our brother Randy teaching us today to be observant and to take a picture. That was good advice from what he said. Praise God. And in verse 2 it says this: "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and in caves and strongholds." The Midianites got so bad that the people had to leave their homes and go up and live in the caves. And it says, "And so it was with when Israel sowed that the Midianites came, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they came up against them, and they encamped against them. And they destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass," it says. In other words, they come up and took everything away from them. They had no food. They had no nothing. And you know, this verse 5, I'm just going to read you a few of these verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it'd take a while to read it all. But in verse 5 it says, "And they came with their cattle, their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude of them, and their camels were without number, and they entered the land to destroy it." You know, I was thinking about, and I shared this sermon with you different times, but years ago, the Lord, I had the flu, was sick in the bed. And before that, I'd been in church, and about a month or two earlier, I was standing out in the assembly, and I wasn't even sitting on the platform at that time. Brother Eddie was still pastor, and we had other elders and that were on the platform, and I was sitting out in the church, and as we were kind of praying and worshiping, the Lord spoke the name Anak to me, Anak. And when he spoke that word Anak to me, I didn't even know what that meant. I had never read anything in the scriptures about Anak or anything else. So I took a piece of paper out of the Bible, wrote the name Anak down, and stuck it back in the Bible. Well, 3 or 4 months later, I was sick, and I was had the flu, and I was really sick. I've only had the flu a couple times in my whole life. I was really sick, running with high fever. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to study. That's not really a good time to study. I mean, when you're feeling really lower than a snake's belly, you know, basically you're feeling pretty bad. And the Lord starts laying it on your heart that you need to study. So I said, okay, Lord. So I got out my Bible. I got out my concordance first, and I looked up the name Anak, and I thought, now where in the world's Anak at? And it was in Numbers 11th chapter. And when I turned to the book of Anak, I looked in there. It was about the children of Israel sending over the 12 spies to go into the land to spy out the land, you know. And this was before they had actually crossed over into the land. And, you know, Joshua and Caleb was among the 12 that went over there. And 10 of them came back with a bad report. And they said that the sons of Anak were over there. That's the giants in the land. He was the father of all the giants in the land. And when I looked up that name Anak, it meant a stranglehold around the neck or a chain about the neck. So I started thinking, and I thought, well, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? You know, all the giant situations that you have in your life that seem to overcome you, and you think, and you look at them, you say, oh, my God, this is more than I can handle. You know, look at this. It's so big. Those things are the giants in your life. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I'm not going to preach that sermon, but I'm just going to tell you, when the people came back from being over spying out the land, they said to the people when they came back, they said, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. Think about that. So anytime that you say a negative thing, that negative thing comes back at you. And I just want you to know that because they said, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs. And they were yielding right into that premise, you know. So they said, oh, we can't go over there. And I'm going to paraphrase this. They said, oh, we can't go over there. Man, these guys are huge. We can't fight against them. You know, we're like little grasshoppers. They'll step on us and crush us. And the actual word for grasshopper usually is the word locust. And you know what locusts do when they come into an area? They eat everything in the whole area. They'll eat all the plants, all the grass. They'll eat everything, the leaves off the trees. We don't have locusts that much over here, but still over in the Middle East, they have plagues of locusts at times when they come through, and they just destroy the crops, you know. So anyway, their attitude when they said we're like grasshoppers in our own eyes and so we were in theirs, they basically were saying they were given into the attitude that what they were going to do would end up being destroying them. And I thought that was interesting here. It says they came up with their cattle and with their tents, and they came as grasshoppers, you know, for the multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And that, well, I can say that word for grasshoppers there is the word locust. You know, well, I'm not going to read you all this. I'm going to talk to you about it because there's a lot to read here. I will drop down to verse 11. And in verse 11 it says this, in chapter 6 it says, and there came an angel of the Lord, and he sat under an oak at Ophrah, pertaining unto Joash, the Abarite. And his son Gideon was thrashed wheat, and it says by in the King James, but that's not really a very good translation. It's in the wine press. He was down in the wine press thrashing wheat. Well, why was he doing that? Because the enemy had come up and had taken all the fruit of the land. So he had somehow got a hold of a little wheat. And he was hiding down in the wine press, thrashing the wheat so that he could make some bread, you know. And I got news for you. Sometimes God's got you in the wine press. He's got you in the wine press to press the juice out of you, to turn you into wine. Or he's got you in there like he did with Gideon here, he's got you in there and you're trying to thresh wheat. You're trying to get the bread of God. And you know, from what this says here, and I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of it to you, it's almost a oxymoron what's said here, okay? And here's what was said. And Gideon was thressing wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So what does that sound like? He was scared. He was a coward. He wasn't going to do it out in the open. He was going to hide and do it because he wanted to get him some bread in the winepress. It said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, with thee, mighty man of valor. Now, I'm going to tell you, he was not showing the attitude of a mighty man of valor. He was hiding down in the winepress thrashing wheat. But let me tell you something else. When God calls you something, you are what he says you are. Whether you know you are or you don't know you are that. And I'll tell you what, you're more than a conqueror. You're a king and priest unto God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. He is your healing. He is your strength. He is your high tower. He's all the things we sang about this morning. Whether you want to receive it right now or not, you might be in the winepress today. And if you're in the winepress today, then you know what? Whether you're there or not, the angel of the Lord is with you. Whether you feel his presence or you don't feel his presence. But I love what the angel of the Lord said unto him. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, now Gideon didn't say, well, praise God, I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm going to get up out of here and go do some things. No, here's what he said. He got up and he said, oh, my God, if the Lord is with us, then why all this has befallen us? What, poor me. Poor me. And where be all these miracles that our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel, and the hand of the Midianites have not I sent thee? When God tells you to go, get up and go. When God opens the door, step through the door. And you know, I told the Lord a long time ago, because I was kind of backward type person, because I'd had that epilepsy as a kid. I didn't like getting up in front of people. I avoided restaurants when I was younger and stuff like that, because I felt uncomfortable because I'd had seizures in public. And I've told you this many times, but, you know, my mother would say to me in the car driving to work, and a lot of times she'd say it just out of the blue, don't get too entangled with the world, son. God's going to require something of you someday. And she was saying that because God had healed me of epilepsy. I had epilepsy from the time I was 9 till I was 12. And then, you know, God did heal me of epilepsy. I don't have seizures anymore. I don't have a fear of epilepsy anymore. God delivered me from that. I had that fear for many, many years, and I've told you that. When I first started coming to church at Wings years ago in a men's prayer meeting, this old brother come over to me, and he said, God keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me about you, Oscar. You have epilepsy? I said, no. I didn't answer him. I didn't tell him the story. He says, did you have it? I said, yes. He said, do you have a fear of it? I said, yes. He said, God wants you to proclaim that that fear is gone. Now, this angel of the Lord spoke to Gideon and said, oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon, I'm surprised Gideon said, who are you talking about? You talking about somebody else? I used to think about that one show when that little kid would say, What are you talking about, Willis? Remember that? That was sort of the way I felt like Gideon probably felt. Who are you talking about, you know? Because Gideon didn't say he had all these encounters with God before or anything. But you know what? And he even questioned God. God, if you're calling me a mighty man of valor and you're going to send me to all these people, where's all the miracles? Why are we even in this situation? And I tell you what, God allows you to be in situations you don't understand. He allows you to be in situations where you think, oh, God, are you really here or not? But he's there, folks. He's there all the time. Anyway, he said, go in this thy might. And I love this part here. Have not I sent thee? And I'm going to tell you, when God sends you, you got more than enough to do anything that he tells you to do. You're not responsible for the outcome of what he tells you to do. You're only responsible to do what he tells you to do. The outcome rests with him. A lot of people will say, there's a scripture that says, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders. Let them pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise them up. That's what you should underline. The Lord. Not the person praying for you. Not somebody else. Not some preacher on television. But the Lord will raise them up. And the Lord is the one that does the raising up. And then he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Manasseh means causing to forget. And I'm going to tell you what, he was forgetting what God had done in times past, and all of his elders had told him of the miraculous things that God had done, how they had been delivered from the Pharaoh, how they'd been delivered from all of their enemies as they traveled through the wilderness. He was forgetting who and what God was. I got news for you. The only thing you need to forget is the things in the past and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm the least in my father's house. In other words, well, I'm the littlest one. Why don't you pick the big guy? Why don't you pick the other guy? Why don't you pick one of them other ones? You'll say that sometimes when God starts telling you to do something. I was talking back in Sunday school, and I told him, I said, I would have never in a million years expected the Lord to have me get up and tell people the definitions of Hebrew and Greek. I'm not the greatest person in English in the world, but you know what? It doesn't matter what I am. It only matters about what God tells me to do. And God has opened things up to me and shown me things that there's no way I could take credit for it. I couldn't take credit for it if I tried, because it's just beyond me, some of it. But I tell you what, that's the beauty of the Lord. You have to give him the glory. He chooses the foolish to confound the wise. He chooses the weak to bring to naught the strong. And I want you to know, if God's chosen you and he's telling you to do anything, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Quit telling yourself, I can't do this. Quit telling yourself, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so over here, they're more qualified than I am. The only qualification you need is the Lord Jesus Christ and him telling you to do something. And I tell you what, I've had people say to me before, I've given people prophetic word before, and I've had people say to me, well, brother, you should go follow through on that word, make sure it comes to pass. And you know what I told them? I said, no, I shouldn't. What I should do is speak the word that the Lord gave me, leave it alone, don't try to interpret it, don't try to tell them what it's all about. God will deal with them. It's not up to me to make the word of God work. You know, years ago, Brother Eddie told a story in church, and he said, you know, and there was some miraculous things that happened in his church many years ago. People were healed, and there were a lot of things happened, a lot of wonderful things. A lot of that stuff doesn't happen anymore that much. But that's not because God can't do it, and that's not because we're not doing what God wants us to do or anything like that. There was a time and there was a season for that. And, you know, Brother Eddie said, he made this statement. He said, you know, I questioned God about healing. He said, I've pulled people out of wheelchairs before and they were healed. And he said, and I've also pulled them out of wheelchairs and had to put them back in them. And you know what? When he was saying that, the Lord was speaking to me and the Lord said, it's time for the body of Christ to learn to work with the Word of God, not try to make the Word of God work. I'm going to tell you, when you try to make the Word of God work, it don't work because it's you trying to make it work. But if God gives you a word and you share that word to somebody, then it's going to do exactly what it was meant to do. And anyway, I told Brother Eddie, I spoke up and I told him, I said, well, Brother Eddie, I feel like the Lord's saying that when we were children, we walked with childlike faith. And I said, and a lot of times when we first started moving into the gifts of the Spirit and different things like that, we had childlike faith. I said, but I feel like the Lord's saying we're coming to a day and age where it's we're going to move with childlike faith, but only with manlike wisdom, okay? And you move with manlike wisdom, you pull one up out of a wheelchair, you ain't going to have to put them back because God told you to pull them up out of there. You pull them up out of there, you'll have to set them back down. But anyway, I'm just telling you that because I love what it says here. Go in this, thy might, your might, which is you're going to say, oh, it ain't enough, Lord, it ain't enough. Most of the time you're going to feel that way. You know, I told you many times about that testimony from Clarice Fluitt when she did that. And I love that story because I know how true it is. When she was at this conference, and she was the only woman there. It was all men, and they were going to be ordained as ministers. And there was a bunch of ministers and a bunch of big-name ministers sitting up on the platform. Well, God sent her there. She got an invitation to go there. And she fell out of place because she said, I thought women was just supposed to minister to women at that point, you know. And she said, this big brother, he got up to introduce her, and he told her, no, you're supposed to speak here, you know, and all of a sudden he got up, big, heavy, overweight brother, sort of probably a little bigger than me, I would say. But anyway, he got up and introduced her, and he fell over and died. He had a heart attack. And all of the ministers all gathered around, and they looked at him, and I guess they prayed for him, different things, and they all pronounced him dead. The EMTs showed up, the emergency squad. They pronounced him dead. God spoke to her and said, go over and raise him up. And she said, oh, Lord, I can't, you know, she was kind of, I can't do that. And he said, go over and raise him up and act like you've done it before. She'd never done anything like that before. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times when God will tell you to do something, and it'll look like it's so big and so beyond what your ability or your whole situation with the Lord is. But you need to be obedient because, first of all, you're only required to be obedient to what he tells you to do. You're not responsible for what happens afterwards. And I want you to understand that and keep that in your mind when God tells you to do something. Because he's an on-time God, and even a word that you speak today might not take effect till tomorrow or till the next week or 2 years down the road. His word never returns void. But anyway, he told him, he said, have not I sent you? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherein shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And I like that it says one man. Most of the times in the Old Testament, when it says man, it's the word Adam. It isn't the word Adam there. It's the word Ish. And there's two words usually that's used for man, primarily in the scriptures. And Adam's name means a hypocrite, another. It's got bad connotations to the name. It's not a real positive name, meaning of the name. Red, ruddy, it means a lot of things like that. But Ish has a different connotation. It has the meaning of like someone that can be a champion, someone that can do things and stuff like that. So God was really telling him, I don't want you to go and deal with them in the nature of Adam. I want you to go and deal with them in the nature of Ish. Okay? As in Adam, all shall die. So in Christ shall all be made alive. Each man after his own order. Well, the only other thing about Coral Reefs is she went over and prayed for him. He coughed and got up off the floor. Okay, he was okay. And she got a whole bunch of invitations to go and speak at all them churches that these guys had. And she said, God wouldn't let me take a one of them, not one of them. Why? Because they would have been exalting her and not the Lord. And I got news for you. He's not going to give his glory to another, but you're not another. He's your elder brother. He's your father. He's your God. He's a lot of things to you. He's whatever he needs to be to you at the time you need him and that he tells you to do something. But I love that. As it says, and it goes on, it says, and surely he will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man, one. What did Jesus pray before he was crucified? Father, I pray that they might be what? One. You and me and them. Then the world will believe. And until we come to the place where we're one in him, the world is not going to believe. I don't care how many evangelists you send out, how many missionaries you send out, how many millions of dollars you drop Bibles in the jungle or whatever you do. They're not going to believe until they see us stand up as one man. And that one man is the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. When we stand up as one man in him, we're going to set this world on its ear. And when I say that, I mean they're going to hear from the Lord, and they're going to hear it just like John did when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day in the book of Revelations. And when Jesus spoke to him, it was Jesus. It was the fullness of Jesus, though. John didn't say when he saw him, oh, you know, that looks like Jesus. I know who that was. He described him. Hair white like wool, eyes like a flame of fire, breast covered about with gold, you know, legs like brass that had been burnished and burned in the fire. That's judgment. But I told you about brass a couple weeks ago. I told you that when you shine brass up and you get it shiny enough, when the light hits it, it becomes a prism. And what happens is you see the rainbow. And what is the rainbow but light broken down and showing you all the facets of it? And let me tell you what, that's what he wants in the body of Christ. He wants us to be a reflection of him, of his beauty and of his holiness and of all those other things. And we'll be that not because of what we did, but because of what he did. But don't be surprised when you find yourself in the fire and you find yourself being rubbed on and get uncomfortable, or find yourself feeling like you ain't got no strength or no abilities or no nothing else. But don't use that as an excuse, because that's what Gideon was doing here. He was using it as an excuse. Don't you know I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, the ones who causing to forget? Don't you know I'm the ones that I'm the least in my house? I got a lot of brothers and sisters, but man, I'm the worst one. You know, I'm the littlest one. I know the least of all of them. I mean, that's the kind of thing he was saying. Guess what? That's the kind of person God wants. because the glory is going to be on him and not on anybody else. But they're going to smite the Midianites as one man. And let's go on down here a little further. And Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord and said, "Alas, O Lord God, because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." You know, a lot of times when you see God, it's like a death experience in the sense that that old flesh nature starts to die. And I'm going to tell you what, when we see him as he is, we'll be what? Just like him. So all of a sudden, Gideon was starting to transform into a different man there. And then the next thing you see about Gideon, he's still kind of going back and forth with the duality of nature, where he says, "Well, God, you know, if this is really you that spoke to me," you know, and sometimes we do that, even though we know it was the Lord, we'll say, "If this was really you, how about I lay a fleece out on the ground and you let there be the ground dry, it lay there all night, and the ground be dry, and let the fleece be wet." And the fleece was a skin of a lamb or something. So next morning he goes out. There's no dew on the ground. He picks up the fleece. He goes over to this bowl and he starts wringing it, and he fills it with water from the fleece being wet. You'd think he said, "Oh, praise God, I know it was you." No. He says, "Well, how about let's do this?" We make excuses. And you know what? God will let you do that for a while, but only for a while. He says, "Okay, how about if I lay the fleece out again and there's water all around the ground and the fleece be dry in the morning?" And God said, "Okay." The angel of the Lord, and I'm going to tell you what, the angel of the Lord is not necessarily just an angel. It's the Lord. And so he lays the fleece out. Next morning, he gets up. There's dew all over the ground. It's wet. And just walking over to the fleece, he was getting his feet wet. He walks over and picks over the fleece, and it's bone dry. Well, you know, I can tell you, when the Lord first started using me, and he would run words through my head when he wanted me to prophesy in church, you know. And I would say, "Oh, go ahead, Lord, go ahead, Lord." Until I found out that the scripture says a spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And I understood it as soon as I read it. In other words, if you don't speak it, it won't get spoken. I give it to you. Now you got to speak it out by faith. And I stood there one day and God ran some words through my heart, through my head. And I said, "Lord, if this is really you," I'm doing a Gideon here. I said, "Lord, if this is really you, give it to somebody else." You know, and I thought, that gets me out of, I don't have to worry about it now. And you know what? And I can tell you who it was. It was Jana Bingham, and she was playing the piano. All of a sudden, she started prophesying. Exact words that God gave me. Exact words. And you know what? I walked out of church feeling about that high. Like my belly was dragging the ground because I thought, "Oh, God, I failed you. I failed you." But let me tell you what. You're going to fail him. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to always know how to do what God tells you to do, and you're not always going to be obedient. But I tell you what, you'll learn when you start flowing and doing what he tells you to do, that his word never returns void, and it touches everything that it's supposed to touch. So after that, I started prophesying. When the Lord would send a word through my head, I would speak it out. And anyway, and I felt like what the Lord told me when that happened. He said, "Son, when you're not obedient to me, when I tell you to say something to people," he says, "you're cheating the body of Christ. You're cheating them." because that word would be an encouraging word or a strengthening word or even sometimes even a corrective word. But it should be done in love no matter what you do, because love is the essential thing. But anyway, we know that Gideon, he put his two fleeces out there. And then not only that, God to shore him up even a little bit more, he told him, I want you to sneak down into the camp of the Midianites, and I want you to hide in the bushes, and I'm putting this in my own words, and I want you to listen to what they say. And some of the Midianites are standing around, and this one guy says, oh, my God, I had a dream last night. They said, well, what was your dream? He said, I saw this barley loaf come rolling down the mountain. Now, barley loaf is bread. I saw this barley loaf come rolling down the mountain, and it hit the tents of the Midianites and knocked them down. And another guy standing over there says, well, I perceive that that's the sword of Gideon, a sword of the Lord, and that's Gideon, you know, sword of Gideon. And they, it shook them up a little bit, you know. And, you know, it's funny that it was bread. Why wasn't it a big rock? Why wasn't it something else that knocked down a tent? It was bread. Bread is a type of his word. He was the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus was. You are his bread. When you speak to people the word of the Lord, you're feeding them bread. Anyway, so then the Lord tells him, gather the people together. So he gathers the people together, and he gets 32,000 people together. And he's going to take them out and fight. And then the Lord says, no, wait a minute. You got 32,000 there. That's too many. Well, remember, there were so many out there in the field, they were like grasshoppers. They covered the field. It's just unbelievable the amount of enemy that were out there in the field. And the Lord told him, no, just wait a minute. Tell them anybody that's fearful or anything like that, they can go home. Guess how many went home? 22,000 of them went home. 22,000. So then he says, okay, I got 10,000 here. And I'm paraphrasing this. And the Lord said, it's still too many. And I know the thoughts in his head had to be, too many, Lord. Look at that mass out there. I only got 10,000. He would have had to have thought that. Doesn't say he did, but he would have had to have thought that. And then he said, no. He said, take them down to the brook and have them drink. And he said, no, I'll speak to you down there. And they went down there, and he told them, drink some water. All of you drink water. Some of them reached down, grabbed water in their hand, and stood up and lapped it like a dog, you know, with their tongue. There was 300 of those. The rest of them bent down on their knees, stuck their face down in the water, and was drinking water. He said, all of the ones who lapped it up, tell them to go over there. All the other ones, send them home. 300, man, you went from 32,000 to 300. You got all the people out there. You're thinking, oh, my God, what are we going to do? You know, I know those thoughts had to go through their head, but they ain't no different than us, you know. And so Gideon was told to give each one of them a pot and put a light inside of the pot with one hand, and I believe I can't remember if it was right or left hand, so bear with me on that one. And he told them to take a trumpet in their other hand. And he said, and when I blow the trumpet, you guys blow the trumpet, break the pot. And what happens when you break the pot? You see the light. But he spread them out to where they looked like they had all of those people surrounded. He put 100 over here and 100 over here and 100 here. Let me tell you what, the number 300, I'm going to read it to you. The name for 100 I'll read it to you like this, because this doesn't actually say 300 on here, but it said, I'm going to read to you what 100 is. This is what the meaning of those numbers. 100 is God's election of grace, children of promise. So he was going to beat them by the grace of God. And it was by election. You know, when you're elected to something, you own it. You got it. Now, when the election's over, you know, politicians change. There's new politicians. If you get elected to the board of trustees in something, you're a trustee. You know what I mean? So that the first number there is 100. And the word for 3 is this: resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection. So that 300 had the meaning of that. And, you know, when they broke those vessels and blew the trumpets, and I asked God one time, now he never did tell me exactly how it happened, but I said, Lord, if you got a trumpet in one hand and you got a vessel over here in another hand that's got a light inside of it, and you blow the trumpet, how do you break the vessel? You're blowing the trumpet. You know? I mean, how do you do that? What does Scripture say about us? We have this treasure in where? In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I got news for you. When he blew that trumpet, and trumpet is a type of a message. And when he blew that trumpet, I believe that vessel just exploded, and the light was still there. And the enemy saw that light, and guess what? They started fighting each other. They were so confused. It scared them so bad, they started killing each other off. They killed all of each other off. Guess what the Scripture says? The battle belongs to who? The battle is the Lord's. And guess what? He don't lose the battles. He wins them all. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I love it, but, the name Gideon means warrior. Now, Gideon was not much of a warrior initially, because he's hiding around. And yet, when God really moved him up into that position, he was faithful and did what God told him to do. And that's all you have to do as being a warrior for the Lord. You know, names have significance. And my grandson was asking me about names, and he said that sometime when he is going to name one of his kids, you know, he said, Grandpa, can I run the name by you? See what you think about it? And I had told him what his name meant years ago. And his name meant God the Savior. And I told him, anytime somebody says your name, remember what it means. And I believe he did, and I believe he does. But anyway, Gideon's name meant warrior. And my brother was named after my Uncle Wiley that came here and spoke. You know, Uncle Wiley, I let him come and speak different times. Uncle Wiley had some insight into scriptures and stuff that years ago, people thought he was nuts if he went to church and said it. And they would actually set him down, most churches, because nobody would invite him to speak because he believed in total reconciliation and some things like that. And I never did sit down and have conversations with my uncle because I wasn't saved back then. You know, I hadn't given my life to the Lord. So the things that God showed me when he showed me about reconciliation and all those things didn't come from Uncle Wiley. They came from God. You know, matter of fact, I had Stan one time ask me, he said, Oscar, has God ever dealt with you about total reconciliation? And I said, no. And I said, he said, oh, I said, I'm not saying it so. I said, I've seen the scriptures about it. I said, but he hasn't really dealt with me about it. Well, he did deal with me about it eventually. And, you know, so I do talk about total reconciliation. But anyway, so my Uncle Wiley's name And my brother was named after him. It means leaping warrior. Leaping warrior. And Margaret said to me, she says, well, that don't hardly fit Uncle Wiley because he's such a calm, soft-spoken guy. I said, not when he starts sharing the word of the Lord, he's not. I said, if somebody'd say years ago, if somebody, and he did it at Wings a couple times when Brother Eddie was still the pastor back years ago, and Brother Eddie let him come up a couple times to speak. But, you know, if somebody says, anybody got a testimony? Look out, Uncle Wiley was coming. he'd step up, and I mean, he'd preach you a reconciliation message or something back then. People weren't really putting that message out back then, you know. And my brother's name was Wiley Lloyd. And my brother had not really committed his life to the Lord then, but he was always wanting to fight everybody. Jim was kind of, I've shared this before, Jim was kind of, you know, Jim would sometimes get a little kidding with you. He'd get a little smart-alecky sometimes, you know, when he was in the way he was kidding. And I went up to him and I said, Jim, I said, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, I said, but I wouldn't do that too much with him. I said, he's liable to punch you out. I basically told him that because he, you know, he was ready to fight you at a drop of a hat, you know what I mean. But he was a leaping warrior too, but he was a leaping warrior in the other vein, not like Uncle Wiley was, my other uncle. But here you have Gideon. He's a warrior. His name means warrior. And, you know, he's hiding. He's not fulfilling that name, you know. And I'd love for you all to look at the Christian meaning of your name sometime. And I think if you do, you're going to find out that your nature and your character fits that name. And it's much more powerful than what you think. You know, remember Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul? His name was Saul. Saul. One of the meanings of the name Saul means to lay to charge, to bring an accusation. And what was he doing before he had his encounter with Jesus Christ? He had papers from the Sanhedrin to go and arrest Christians and to see them slain or whatever the people did to them back then, crucified or whatever. And Paul was, in the book of Acts, Paul was standing where Stephen was, and Stephen was a servant of the Lord, and Stephen served tables and did all that. Well, Stephen stood up one day in the midst of all those people, and he started expounding from the beginning, from Genesis all through the Bible, about Jesus Christ and who he was and what he did and all that stuff. They took up stones to stone him to death. And they killed him. And he said he saw the heavens opened. You know, I'm telling you, God got a hold of him right away as soon as he died. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you what. It was right after that that Paul's on the road to Damascus. And he's going down through Damascus, I believe it was. And this great light shines. It says, oh, Saul, Saul, isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And I like to say to stand and kick against the cactus, because Paul knew the scriptures. He was a Pharisee, I believe, and he knew the scriptures, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. And Paul's answer to him was, "Who art thou, Lord?" He called him Lord. You know, there's a scripture that no one can call him Lord except you have the Holy Spirit, you know, basically. So God was already dealing with Paul. His name was Saul. Right after that, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And he said he persecuted the church worse than anybody else, and he was the chief among sinners. And the name Paul means little. Little. He had to become little that God might become big in his life. And when God became big in his life, then God actually used him. And he called himself I'm the chief among sinners because I persecuted the church. And boy, I tell you what, that's what God does. He turns people completely 180 degrees from where they were when he gets a hold of them a lot of times. But anyway, okay, that's about all I had to share with you. They defeated them. And the bad thing about it is that later on, they wanted to build a statue for Gideon. Oh, God, don't never let them build no statues for you. And I'll tell you, I've said this probably at least 50 or 60 times over the years since I've been ministering here at whatever capacity. Don't get your eyes on Oscar. Keep your eyes planted on Jesus Christ. I'm not your Savior. I'm not your this. I'm not your that. Don't look to me for everything. Look to the Lord. Best advice I ever got was from my mother when I first got saved. She told me, I've told you this before, God hid it from her. She was very, very perceptive spiritually. God hid it from her. I was riding to work with her every day. And before I got saved, she was saying to me, now, you couldn't sit with mother without her talking about God. She'd start talking about God. And I'd scrunch over closer to the door and think, oh, God, I wish she'd quit saying that stuff. You know? But you know what? She was right. And she'd tell me, son, don't get too entangled with the world. God's going to require things of you someday. You know, he did a miraculous thing for you and he healed you and all that. And I'd say, well, but he hid it from her. And when I finally told her that I'd give my life to the Lord, she said, God hid that from me. And she said, and I know why. She said, so I would keep my hands off of it. And you know, she said, best advice I'm going to give you is learn to know God for yourself. No one else can know him for you. And I tell you the same thing. You got to learn to know God for yourself. No minister, no prophet, nobody else can know God for you. Only you, it's an individual thing. You have to have that encounter with him yourself and tell him, Lord, here am I. And when you say that, he loves that. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. Praise the Lord. Just remember that go in this, thy might, have not I sent you. And when he sends you, you go. And you go with the assurance that whatever he does, and he might not do what you think. Some people will try to, they'll try to figure God out. I don't try to do that anymore. I don't try to do that. If God gives me a word for you, I'll give it to you. And then what you do with it is up to you. That's between you and God at that point, unless he has me give you an interpretation of it. And I've had him do that a few times, give me an interpretation for somebody. But if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I talked a little bit longer today, but praise God. God's good. And I want you to know, you guys are all Gideons. You guys are, I like that the Gideons are the ones that stick the Bibles in the hotels and stuff. Okay. And a lot of people, I bet you there's a lot of Gideon Bibles in people's houses where they steal them. And they're not really stealing them because I think they put them in there hoping somebody will take them, you know. Praise God. But praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless your people. I thank you for your words, for they are spirit in their life. And I just ask you to just encourage them all. And if they've got enemy trying to steal the fruit out of their life, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, the faith, all of those things, if they've got situations that are trying to steal that away from them, Father, you are their source. You are their strength. You are the vine, the vine, and we are the branches. And I just ask you, Father, to make your people be a fruitful people as they go forth, and let them bless the world out there, Father, in your name. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you.